Title of our lesson this morning is The Prophetic Book of a Sovereign God. Now, as we study the book of Daniel, we're going to find that this book of Daniel, unlike the prophets in the remainder of the Old Testament, reveals the details of God's plan for both the nations of the world and Daniel. The prophets of the Old Testament generally pertain to Israel alone, but Daniel expands that and gives us details of God's plan concerning the nations. He provides the overall knowledge of the plan of God concerning the nations from his time to the time of Jacob's trouble, which is a time yet to be seen. You know, Jacob's had a lot of trouble in this world. The Holocaust, the persecutions of the Jews throughout the centuries, and yet the time of Jacob's trouble is yet to come. But the book of Daniel gives the believer comfort as to the truthfulness of God's word for every prophecy of Daniel up until this day has been accurately and minutely fulfilled in every detail. You know, prophecy is a wonderful gift of God. There's no reason, therefore, to doubt the Bible as to prophecies that have not as yet been fulfilled, because we know of the many that have been fulfilled by this sovereign God. And the Bible is established as God's word, and God's word we know will be carried out. You know, we're a finite being in this world. We have a beginning and an ending as far as this world is concerned, a birth and a death. And we occupy just a small span of time, yet God occupies all of time. But the Bible is established. God's word is established, and we have the veracity of God's word by knowing that the prophecies of old and many of the prophecies of the book of Daniel have already been fulfilled. Now, Daniel describes some of the historic events which took place during Judah's 70-year exile in Babylon. That's basically the setting of Daniel. There's a 70-year period where Judah has been exiled from the land. They've been judged by God and taken out of the land to Babylon. And this is what the book of Daniel sets in. Now, in addition, Daniel's prophecies show future events from the time of Daniel to the establishment of the kingdom of God in the future. Do you know that God has planned for this earth a kingdom? Oh, a lot of people don't believe that. They say, well, that's pie in the sky. But I believe it because the Bible says it. And Daniel talks about that time, the time from his time all the way to the kingdom of God. Daniel's prophecies describe events which took place during the 400 silent years from the end of the Old Testament to the start of the New Testament as we know it. So it connects the portions of the Old Testament and gives us that connection between the two. Daniel is not only a book of future prophecy, it is a book which clearly shows the fulfillment of prophecy. And we're going to look at a couple of verses as we begin this study where we see such great fulfillment of prophecy. The captivity of the Jews and of Daniel, as well as his ministry to the Babylonian kings, fulfills many Old Testament prophecies from the time of Moses all the way to the time of Daniel. Daniel deals with things which have already happened, which are still going on today, and which will happen during the remainder of the Gentile age and into the period that we know of as the time of Jacob's trouble or the time of the Great Tribulation. So it's an expansive book. The prophecies of Daniel are expansive. They go from age to age. And we know also that this book is a valuable teaching tool for our young people, for it gives to Christians an example of a godly man who was faithful from his youth to the end of his life. My, we need good examples. You men and you women need to be good examples to the young people. They're looking at you. You teachers are being examined daily as to your actions. You can't let your guard down with children. My, how they are sponges. They soak up what they see, and it becomes part of their character, and they judge you. But Daniel was one that we could judge as faithful and true to God from his youth to the end of his life. And this book of Daniel shows us that a Christian can live a godly life in this ungodly world. This is an ungodly world. You know, basically, if you heard the voice of this world in concert, it would be no God for me. That's what this world is saying, no God for me. But this book of Daniel shows us that a Christian can live a godly life in this ungodly world, and not only live in this ungodly world, but have a great impact in the society in which he lives. You can have an impact in Milton. We've seen here, or we will see here in the book of Daniel, that Daniel and his friends were the smallest of minorities, and in spite of the fact that he and his friends were basically alone, they were able to stand for God, even in spite of the fact that they risked their lives in doing it. We'll come to that place where the three friends were on the hill and they were told to bow down to the golden image. Oh, the multitudes were around that image and they all bowed down. And you know, when everyone bows down before you and you stand up, it's like the old sore thumb. You know? It's funny about a sore thumb. It's funny about any finger that's sore. That finger always seems to get in the way. You know, you hammer your finger with a hammer, and you hammer some more nails, you're always hitting that finger, it seems. Well, that's what it was with those three fellows. Everyone bowed down, and the king looked around, and he saw these three heads. Who are those that don't bow down? And we'll get into that, but they stood alone, even in spite of the fact that they risked their lives and were willing to go into the furnace. But you know, Daniel was separated, but he was not isolated. Daniel could have gone into Babylon. He could have just gone in his cocoon and prayed to the Lord in secret and lived his life in secret, but he was a separated man, but he was not isolated. He didn't hide in order to save his skin. You know, it's tempting for those of us in Christian ministries to hide in the ministry and thereby avoid taking a stand in this evil world. Boy, you can find a cocoon around here. That's not what we're here for, though, to find a cocoon and find a safe place. We're to take a stand in this evil world. Daniel and his friends then has much to teach us about faithfulness in times of suffering and adversity, has much to teach us about leadership, and also much to teach us about the sovereign hand of God. The book of Daniel is a reminder of God's faithfulness even when men are unfaithful. You know, God did not bring Judah into exile and leave them in Babylon unattended, for they were still his people and they were there for his good purposes. You know, God never leaves his people. He had purposes for Judah to be in exile for those 70 years. There's a verse in Scripture that still applies, and it says, "Whatsoever you shall sow, you shall also reap." You know, they sowed those 70 years in Israel, and they reaped those 70 years in Babylon. So Daniel shows how God can work in our lives even through those who are unbelievers and who are opposed to God's people. My opposition can really hone the edge. You know, it's good to have opposition. Makes you think. It's good to have debate. It's good to have pressure. Makes you think and makes you go to a holding of what you believe or a changing of what you believe. All right, let's get into the book then by reading Daniel 1, 1 and 2. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, God gives us an exact year in the reign of this king, came Nebuchadnezzar. What a name that is. That rings down in history as a unique individual. Nebuchadnezzar. He was the king of Babylon, and he came unto Jerusalem and besieged it. All of a sudden, the Kmarts are out of clothes. All of a sudden, the food stores, the shelves are no longer stocked. That's what happens with a siege. That's the purpose of a siege, is to make the people knuckle under without losing anyone. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, and part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried unto the land of Shinar. Where? To the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. That's the story that begins Daniel. This is the beginning of the exile of Judah to the land of Babylon. Now, what is written here in these two verses has a prophetic background. So we see here in the book of Daniel where he introduces us to one of its main themes, that of prophecy. Now, as we study the book of Daniel, we'll find that the book is a source of future prophecy, but we'll also find that the book of Daniel is a source of fulfilled prophecy. Fulfilled prophecy and future prophecy. I want to know about fulfilled prophecy so that I can know that future prophecy will be carried out. You know, a child says, "You don't trust me," to their parents. Maybe they won't let them do something that they feel is wrong for the child, and the child says, "You don't trust me." And they say, "Well, you have to earn my trust." You know, children have to earn your trust. You don't trust people that don't earn your trust. You may hire a company to do some work for you, and you say, "Well, would you give me some references?" Why do you want references? "Well, I don't trust you." See, the prudent thing is not to trust someone until they earn your trust. So you call the references. Hopefully they're not their mama or their aunt or uncle. Because their aunt or uncle always loves their work. Or their mama especially. You can do no wrong with mama. But you know, God says, "I earn your trust." And some of it he does through his prophecy, through his word, through the veracity of his word. That's why you study the Bible. That's why we have this big book here with many pages. God didn't just say, trust me. He gave us basis for trust. Our God is so good that way. Now, these two verses concern that part of Israel known as Judah, which is the southern kingdom, as opposed to that known as Israel or Ephraim. So remember that Israel was broken up into two parts. And also remember that the northern kingdom, which was called Israel or Ephraim, had been conquered, and the people were scattered. And this had taken place about 115 years before what takes place here in the beginning of Daniel. So Israel had been scattered, and now it's Judah's turn to be exiled. So Nebuchadnezzar comes along, this king that's been prepared for this. He has been appointed as the instrument of God. You know, God uses men to do his work. But he's appointed as the instrument of God, and he comes and surrounds Jerusalem. He besieges the land, and he carries off in captivity Daniel's people, and part of the vessels of the temple. Now, I would imagine if anyone in Jerusalem knew their scriptures, they would not have been surprised. There were prophets foretelling this. It was due to happen because God had promised it to happen. Before the nation Israel crossed the Jordan to possess the promised land of Canaan, way, way back in Moses' day, Joshua's day, God renewed his covenant with the people, promising to bless them for obedience to his law, but also in that renewal of covenant, there was a curse for disobedience. You know, obedience has in it, the pastor said the other day that sin has in it the curse, but also obedience has in it the blessing. You know that? God has so ordained things that if you obey his word, you're going to be blessed. He doesn't have to be prompted. He doesn't have to look down and make a record of all the obedience that you do. You'll be blessed. Child wants to run out into the street after the ball, and mama says, don't run, and he stops. A car goes by. He was blessed. Child was blessed with life. Inherent in that obedience was the blessing that he received by not being killed by the car. But inherent in disobedience to his mother's voice was the curse of that car. So God has blessings for obedience, and he has curses for disobedience. And this curse that he announced back in Deuteronomy 28 included captivity. This is way back. In Deuteronomy 28, 15, 32, and 36 through 37, but it shall come to pass. Boy, when you hear those words, shall, you know, there's a legal aspect of the word shall, isn't there, Bill? When you say shall, that means it's going to happen. And God said, but it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Inherent in disobedient is curses. He that shall sin shall die, the Bible says. Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people. This was scripture that all the Jews were taught. And thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long, and there shall be no might in thine hand. Can't do anything about it. There go our children. They're taking the best of our children to Babylon. We can't do anything about it. Our hand is weak. The Lord shall bring thee and thy king, which thou shalt set over thee, unto a nation which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, and there shalt thou serve other gods, wood and stone, and thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all nations whither the Lord shall lead thee. This was old scripture. And further in Deuteronomy 28, 49, and 50, the Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flieth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand. Well, they pretty soon had to learn it. Had to go to public school, and they had to learn the Babylonian tongue. A nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young. Now the northern kingdom, Israel or Ephraim, had already suffered this fate at the hands of the Assyrians. This fate was told of or foretold by God in 1 Kings 14, 15 through 16. For the Lord shall smite Israel, he's talking about the northern kingdom, as a reed is shaken in the water, and he shall root up Israel out of this good land which he gave to their fathers, and shall scatter them beyond the river, over in Assyria, because they have made their groves, provoking the Lord to anger, and he shall give Israel up because of the sins of Jeroboam, that was the northern king, who did sin and who made Israel to sin. Boy, if you're a leader, part of that leadership is to lead people away from sin. But he led people to sin. And this foretelling was realized. He foretold it in 1 Kings. This foretelling was realized in Israel in 2 Kings 18, 9 through 12. And it came to pass in the fourth year of King Hezekiah. This is the southern king, which was the seventh year of Hoshea, king of Elah, king of Israel. That's the northern king. So he gave you the time references for both kings. That Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, came up against Samaria and besieged it. Samaria, of course, was in the northern kingdom, and they had their besieging. Remember, Samaria was the headquarters of the northern kingdom, and they had their besieging. Now, this is 115 years before what takes place in Daniel. And at the end of 3 years, they took it, even in the sixth year of Hezekiah the southern king. That is the ninth year of Hoshea, king of Israel, Samaria was taken. And the king of Assyria did carry away Israel unto Assyria, and put them in Halah and in Habor by the river of Gozan and in the cities of the Medes. Why? Because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord their God. In other words, disobedience brings cursing. Wow, we need to get that principle in our heads, and we need to get that principle in our children's heads. Disobedience brings cursing. But transgressed his covenant and all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded way back, and would not hear them nor do them. There's a principle here, such a simple principle. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now look again at the first two verses of Daniel and remember the vessels that were carried to Babylon. And even in this detail, prophecy is fulfilled. You know, God fulfills prophecy to the iota. If he says this pin is going to drop, that pin is going to drop. Now remember that during the reign of Hezekiah, we've just talked about him with regard to the fall of Israel to the north. So this is way back about 115 years ago. And during the reign of Hezekiah, Judah was delivered by God from Assyria. Syria couldn't take Judah. And after that, Hezekiah became deathly ill. And by his plea to God, Pastor preached on this the other day, and there were consequences from that plea, unintended consequences that Hezekiah had to face during those 15 years that if he would have allowed the Lord to take him, he wouldn't have had to face. You know, be careful what you ask for. But Hezekiah later became deathly ill, and God gave him another 15 years to live. The king of Babylon heard about this. Did you hear about Hezekiah? He's got another 15 years to live. Sends him a greeting. And then there was a visit to Jerusalem. And Hezekiah said, I want to show you the vessels of the temple. So he gave him a tour of Jerusalem and showed him all the holy vessels of the temple. And Isaiah, the prophet of the time, he came and rebuked Hezekiah for doing this. And he gave this prophecy of Judah's downfall at the hand of Babylon. This is now 115 years prior to what takes place in Daniel. Get the timing here. God always has his man, and he says to Isaiah, go rebuke Hezekiah for this. And he did it in 2 Kings 20, 16 through 18. And Isaiah said unto Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord. Oh, you know, kings sometimes didn't want to hear that. We folks in church sometimes don't want to hear that either. We come to church, maybe there's sin in our hearts, and the pastor says, hear the word of the Lord. Well, we don't want to hear that. And Isaiah says, behold, the days come. Now, this would take place in Daniel's day. I think the timing was about 90 years later. That all that is in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day shall be carried into Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. This took place before the book of Daniel, almost 100 years. So you go no further than the first two verses of Daniel, and you see that God's promises and prophecies concerning Israel and Judah were literally and precisely fulfilled. God is so good to us. He says to us, look what has taken place in the past. In other words, read my resume. Read my resume and learn from that. And learn that I am always faithful to my word and will fulfill my promises exactly as I have said. What a lesson that is for parents. You know, we use threats and promises so loosely with our children. You ought to ask the Lord to guard your lips from promises and threats that you'll not carry out. You know, you're lying to your children if you don't carry out those threats. You liar. Well, the child doesn't want to be killed, that's true. But if you say, I'm going to kill you, and you don't, you're a liar. So don't say it. But God's always faithful to his word, and he always will fulfill promises exactly as he has said. That's what I believe about the scriptures. That's what I believe about God's word. And in the case of Israel and Judah, God's promises turned out to be the curse of scattering and exile. They chose disobedience, and the inherent in disobedience was the curse. God could do no other, if he's going to be God, than to carry out his word, could he? Now, Daniel is also the source of future prophecies, and because of the fulfilled prophecies that Daniel attests to, we know that future prophecies are also certain to come about. Said that before. Now let me read these first two verses again in Daniel 1:1-2 to bring to our minds this. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasury house of his God. Now I read that again so that you would see the sovereignty of God in these verses. For it says, and the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into Nebuchadnezzar's hand. Well, didn't Nebuchadnezzar besiege the land? Wasn't it because of that? No, it was because of the sovereignty of God. God could have rescued him. God chose not to rescue him, but to give him into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar. So Daniel, recognizing the hand of God in all of this, assures us that this action was taken to fulfill God's purposes and promises. See how he brings into the very first part of Daniel the sovereignty of God. You know, there are some people who claim to foretell the future. And it's interesting to read the account of their foretelling about a year later. Have you ever done that in the paper? Sometimes they have articles. And they get this foreteller. They get these foretellers' words, and then they comment on them, and they see how good they are percentage-wise. Well, some of them, they are able to foretell. You get enough people to foretell the future, some of them are going to be right. But you know, this does not make those people sovereign. The sovereign is sovereign because he not only foretells the future, but he brings about or determines the future. That's what makes God sovereign. He doesn't say, well, this is going to happen, and just sit back and watch it happen. He makes it happen. He's sovereign. The Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand. Why? Because the people had to suffer the curse. Inherent in disobedience is the curse. So God determines the future. He foretells the future, but he determines the future. You're sovereign in ways, are you not? I can say that this book is going to be picked up in a couple of seconds. Now, how does that happen? Well, I pick it up. Why? I'm sovereign in that case. I can determine it happen. And God is sovereign that way because he determines that it happens. Judah was vanquished because it was the will of God for them to be vanquished. You know, it may be the will of God for you to be vanquished. And God drew Nebuchadnezzar as his instrument to carry out his promise to Judah. So another theme of the book of Daniel is God's sovereignty And as we go through the book of Daniel, we're going to see that displayed as God reveals prophecies to the king of Babylon, and some of those prophecies are even fulfilled in their lifetime. And also we're going to see the testimony of Daniel as he reveals God's sovereignty by never attributing the power that he enjoyed to himself, but always attributing that power to God. God's sovereignty was recognized even in the time of Daniel's deliverance from the lion's den and his three friends' deliverance from the fiery furnace. God's sovereignty was there. Where the three friends chose not to bow down to the sovereignty of this earthly king because of the sovereignty of the God of heaven. Well, we'll stop there since our time is up. But the book of Daniel promises to be a real blessing to those that obey and listen and understand of the sovereignty of God. Father, we are thankful for this time together. We're thankful that we have the book of Daniel. You're so good to us to give us a vision of the past and a vision of the future so that we know where we are in this day and what we can expect to come. Bless us now, Father, as we go to our service. May our pastor be filled with thy Spirit, and may he communicate to us that which you'd have us to know. We ask these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen.